What is up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Surfing the Stream, where every week we're on a quest to find out what is the greatest movie of all time. I am Matt Primo, joined by Josh Primo.
What's up, bitches?
And we are finally back this week. We're here to review a movie that it was on my most anticipated list for last year, and that is The Iron Claw. It was one of the handful of movies that I did not get an opportunity to not only review, but also to watch before the end of the year. I'm still debating on whether I want to include this into 2024's top 10 list, because it came out on the 22nd of December, so like a cunt hair from fucking 2024. So still trying to decide that, not 100%. But nonetheless, we are here to review The Iron Claw, a movie that I am actually pretty excited to fucking review and to talk about. But before we do that, there are links down below, links to our Patreon, links to our merch, and links to all of our social media accounts. If you're listening to us on YouTube, like, subscribe, do all that bullshit. Really, really helps us out. So we'd greatly appreciate it if you did that. Likewise, if you're listening to us on Spotify, you can watch us there as well. Otherwise, we're on all your favorite podcast apps. But that's enough of that bullshit. It's time to jump into The Iron Claw. Is it just me? Anytime someone says the Iron Claw in this movie, or if I say the Iron Claw, I think of the claw from fucking Liar Liar.
No. See, I was thinking of Mankind when he did the claw. That was his finishing move.
Nah, man. I thought about Jim Carrey every fucking time. Claw.
Now that you say that, yes.
Every fucking time. Give him the claw.
God dang, pin is blue.
Dude, that movie's so fucking good.
Oh, so man. Funny. I'm afraid to rewatch it.
You think it's bad? Like, nowadays?
Man, I watched after I rewatched The Mask, then I totally stopped rewatching movies like that. Because it totally lost its nostalgia.
Uh-huh. That kind of worries me. You know, there was some chick, you know the chick with in the elevator? She has, like, the cleavage, and he's like, Mama!
I mean, I went up.
Apparently, I saw something about her the other day, which is kind of weird that we started talking about this. She apparently had roles only geared towards like scenes like that, and she fell off the face of the earth. Dude, she looks rough nowadays. the video was like, and she still looks good, and I'm like, bro, what fucking video are you watching? She went through one too many surgeries.
Yeah, that's what I'd have said too.
But I digress. That's a tale for a different day. The Iron Claw. Okay. This is the true story of the inseparable Von Erich brothers who made history in the intensely competitive world of professional wrestling in the early 1980s. It was directed by Sean Durkin, who has directed The Nest, Martha Marcy Macy Marlene. I'm very proud of myself for not getting tongue-tied on that motherfucker. Never heard of any of those movies, but you can go check them out if you so desire. This movie had what?
Something tells me he got fucked with in school for his name.
I'm trying to decide if I want to make the joke or not. It's fucked up because you know what I'm fucking thinking.
Hey, Durkin, you jerkin?
Jerkin. This movie had a budget of $15 million, and it grossed $42.6 million. It stars Zac Efron, Jeremy Allen White, and Harris Dickinson. It has a runtime of 2 hours and 12 minutes, and it was released December 22nd, 2023. As far as the fun facts go, there weren't any, guys. I'm not going to waste your time here and just throw out some random shit. It was pretty boring, to be honest with you. So we're just going to jump right into our expectations of the movie and then our overall impressions, and then we'll kind of go from there. What did you expect going into this movie? Because I don't know if I really told you much about it.
My expectations were pretty flat. I knew it was about wrestling. I did not watch the trailer, but then I had heard several people that had watched this and said it was a good watch. So I was optimistic. I figured it'd be a good watch, but I just didn't know how much I would like it on the wrestling side.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I had pretty high expectations for this movie. I really wanted to go see this in theaters, honestly. That's how much I wanted to see this movie. Yeah, spend a whole fucking $6 on a fucking Tuesday. Yeah, yeah. Those were my expectations were, okay? I expected Zac Efron to give a hell of a performance. I expected a great story. I had heard through a few different reviews I had watched or read that the ending was a fucking tearjerker. So I was like, hey, man, let's fucking bring it, man. I'm ready for a fucking good movie. How did this movie do with your expectations, sir?
I think it held up there pretty good with it. The wrestling side, I don't know. It was great for a wrestling-type movie, I'll say that. It kind of starts in the period of wrestling that I never got into, which was that very first phase where it was kind of like heroes and villains, like superhero type characters in the wrestling. So I never got into that side, but I thought it told a damn good story, and I never knew about this family really besides watching this movie, and it really opened my eyes up.
I will agree with you. I wasn't very familiar with the 80s of wrestling. It was very much the 90s that, you know, I was watching Raw, SmackDown, you know, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker. The list fucking goes on with WWE, WWF, whatever. So that was kind of my introduction into wrestling. So when I heard that this movie was, which is a wrestling movie, and was about the Von Erich brothers, I was like, I don't think I even fucking ever heard of these people before, to be honest with you. But I was very excited about the movie regardless. And this movie, it met my expectations. I won't sit here and say that it exceeded my expectations in any ways. I do believe that this is a fucking great movie. That if you're, hell, you don't even have to be a wrestling fan to like this movie. I think this is a movie that appeals to a bigger audience than what it's been given so far. I mean, what did I say? $42.6 million. This is a really, really good movie. And I think I spent $20 on it. $20 well spent. Like, this is a movie that I can see myself rewatching multiple times, especially like once a year kind of thing. I could also see this movie becoming one of my favorites. I really did love this movie a lot.
It told a story in a documentary-style way, except not in a documentary-style way. You know, it actually told it like you were watching a documentary, but the way it was written made it into a movie. And I find that a hard area to cross into, between documentary and film.
Yes, because you don't want it to be very, you don't want to feel like it's information dumps every 5 minutes, and you don't want it to really lag on. And the thing with like biopics or even like documentary style movies kind of like this, you run the risk of, okay, what is worth telling versus what is not worth telling. And I don't think there were really any scenes in here that I'm like, you know, probably could have done a little bit more here. Maybe not that great of a scene. I think the movie has a lot of payoff at the very end. I think the ending is well earned. And I think journey would be a word that I would use for this movie. Like, this is not a movie that you're going to sit here at 30 minutes and be like, no, this is really fucking good. Like, you're invested in the characters and whatnot, but it's that those final scenes of the movie that you're like, nah, bro, that shit was fucking, that shit was really fucking good. There's just all of the character, all those moments get earned right at the very last scene. And I really appreciated that. Was not expecting it, to be honest with you.
No, the ending definitely was not what I was expecting the way it ended.
You know, we're going to talk about the acting, and then we'll talk about the character development and stuff like that. But since we're on the topic of the ending, okay? Dude, that shit hit me hard. That was a fucking good ending. When he says, I used to be a brother, and I'm not a brother anymore, bruh, hit you right in the fucking feels. And then his kids are like, we'll be your brothers. God damn, man. Kids be saying the damnest things. But the best part of that, you know, that part is like the emotional, I guess, center of the entire movie. Like, that's the scene everybody's fucking talking about. Like, hey, the ending's super fucking emotional. The awesome part about that ending, he has that moment with his boys, okay? And then he goes and plays football with his boys. But it's completely different than when his dad was playing football with him and his brothers growing up.
I didn't tie that together, but now that you say that, yeah, that was a big difference between the two.
I mean, just the interactions between, like, his dad and him and his brothers, and then him and his sons was completely different. You know, when his dad is playing football with him and his brothers, it's, you should have done this, you should have done that, great job. And it's like coaching, trying to make them better the entire fucking time. He's not really enjoying it and having fun or anything like that. Whereas when he's doing it with his sons, it's complete opposite. It's, they're having fun and he's telling them good job and shit like that. And it was, to me, that's what the entire movie built up to, and then it earned it in the last fucking second.
Yeah, and you know what that movie reminded me of, man? When me and Larry used to whip you and Dad's ass at football every Thanksgiving.
Man, that's because, bruh, okay, listen.
I'm just saying, it reminded me of that. It's okay to be the losing team.
I had a geriatric handicap, man. Fuck y'all.
It did. You know, I would say the ending was very powerful. I mean, it reminded me of that when we used to do that, and you know, that was a long time ago. And I don't know.
Thanksgiving Bowl, man.
Yeah, it worked, man. The ending was probably the most well written part of this whole movie, I think.
Yes, it's well written, but it's the, like I said, the journey that got there. The 2 hours and I'm just gonna make it's a 2 hour and 12 minute long movie, so I'll say 2 hours and whatever the fuck it is. Up until then, it's like, yeah, these are some great performances and shit like that, but that is absolutely earned, 100% earned in that final scene.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So let's talk about the acting, and then we'll get into the character development, and then we can close out the review. Okay. I've never been a huge Zac Efron fan. I think some of his movies are really, really good. But he has a lot of misses. A lot of misses. This one, I think I was expecting him to do like a... I was expecting a Best Actor Award kind of performance from him in this movie. While I think he was really great in this movie, I don't think I'd put him in that category of, oh dude, he was one of the best, that was one of the best acting jobs I've seen all freaking year. No, I've seen a few other movies that were that were better performances overall. But Zac Efron's acting in this movie, really fucking good. And a lot of it was nonverbal. You know, a lot of it was like facial expressions, which was the highlight for me. What about you? What do you think about Zac Efron?
I think I don't need you to explain to me what nonverbal is, but that's cool.
Yeah, I definitely had to.
Hmm. Yeah, I can't. I just mean to. Zac Efron was good in this one, man. I give him that. I have to give him that. But Holt McClaney, not real familiar with his work, but I think he came across pretty damn good in this film. You know, he was written to be a dick, and he fucking succeeded. So I give the guy props on that. And this Maury Tierney, Doris, the mother, you know, the only ever work I've really seen is from ER.
Wait. How is it that we fucking didn't connect this again? Liar, liar. She's the wife.
She sure the fuck is.
I promise y'all, I did not mean to make two liar, liar connections in this fucking movie.
I mean, that was pretty hot.
I mean, I totally didn't do that. Fuck y'all.
I thought she did a phenomenal job in this movie. I know we don't want to talk about scenes right now, but one of the scenes where she's getting ready and she doesn't want to put on her dress, I found that to be some of the best acting in this whole movie with her in a nonverbal sense. I mean, like expressions and things of that nature.
I know we don't want to talk about scenes, but here's a scene that I want to talk about.
Well, I'm just saying that's what brought me to that conclusion of her was that scene sold it on her acting in that whole movie.
Not just the dad, which I talked about a second ago, how the difference in the two football scenes. Have you noticed? What? I swear to God, all the fucking balloons and shit, man.
I think it was a late celebration to the two liar liar connections.
Right. So she had a couple of different funerals that she had to fucking go to. Goddamn, dude. That's fucking tough. We see one fucking stone cold. Like, doesn't fucking shed a tear. She's like, you better not fucking cry. That kind of shit. But it's like, I mean, you've had three sons that just died. And the third one, she just hits fucking rock bottom. And she can't even put the funeral dress on because she's just absolutely broken at that point. I loved that build-up of her character, where she's kind of with the dad in a lot of the ways, like, with his mentality, and at the end, yeah. She just can't fucking handle it. But the dad never fucking moves either way.
No, he stayed hard line on being a dick.
This dude said, fuck, this dude said, the same sentence. Shout out.
Well,
as far as some of the other characters, as far as the acting goes, Mike was pretty damn good. He was the one that had he was a musician that went in for like shoulder surgery and then ended up in a coma due to the toxic shock syndrome, and then eventually killed himself by overdose. I thought his acting was pretty good. Like, he's not one of like the pivotal characters. And what I'm talking about in terms of his acting is more so along the lines of when he makes that swap between the two characters, because he changes his speech completely for the back half of the movie.
I 100% agree with you on that one.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck was that?
My Apple Watch. Everything's fucking falling apart on me on Apple, man.
This guy said, I already said that.
But no, the fact that he legitimately looked like a guy that had a brain injury, which is kind of fucking crazy. Like, as two people that fulfilled, he convinced me. He convinced me.
I mean, he was there. I was like, damn, this guy here. That was fucking phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And then one other actor that I really, Jeremy Allen White is really good in this movie. He's in the TV show The Bear, which if y'all haven't watched it, that's on Hulu FX. That's the guy that runs the restaurant and whatnot, and he has all those. I mean, y'all probably seen the clips on like TikTok and whatnot, where he's yelling Gordon Ramsay style at his staff. Pretty good show that I would recommend y'all go watch if you want to. But other than him, the guy Aaron Dean Eisenberg, the guy that played Ric Flair in this fucking movie,
Was fucking
bruh.
awful.
You think it was awful?
Awful portrayal of Ric Flair, bro.
So I think the very, very beginning of his scene is terrible. Like I looked at it and go, oh my God, that's fucking awful. But then he lays into it. He goes so over the top. I'm like, that's fucking Ric Flair as a motherfucker.
Didn't do that though. That's what's fucked up. That's his. You hear Ric Flair and every motherfucker in the world goes, "Woo!" And he didn't do it.
The best part, man, is when he fucking slaps people in the chest, and the crowd goes, and it's like all he did was slap him.
Mean, Ric Flair was an over-the-top wrestler. I just didn't. I didn't buy it. I don't know. I don't know if
I
I
mean, it
just
was.
know too much about Ric Flair, and that's what fucked me up. I don't know.
Dude, I fucking liked it, man. It was so over the top, it was fucking hilarious. And it was so spot on to me.
We'll have to disagree on that one. I felt like
Yeah.
it was not the tone of the movie, so it really didn't need that in there.
I will agree with you on that. I will agree. And think, like, I get it, you can't really change the history of how it happened and whatnot. But putting him in the movie completely changed the tone for a little bit, and it was kind of jarring. I will agree with you on that.
Yeah, 'cause this was more serious, and that was more kind of like Cocaine Bear. While it was like telling a story, but it was kind of being hilarious about
Well,
it.
it's just like, was Ric Flair like the first like over the top wrestler? Like just like over the top. Who?
Between him and Dusty Rhodes, I don't know who came first.
So I don't know who Dusty Rhodes is.
Yeah, I remember him, and he would be like spreading butter on his body and shit, man, doing promos and stuff. 'Cause he was a big guy. He was, yeah.
Maybe that's why it's so different. Maybe because he was like one of the first wrestlers that they just decided, hey, let's just have an over the top character here, and maybe that's why it's so jarring in the movie. But otherwise, I will agree with you, and I say, yeah, I don't know if 100% he needed to be in the movie because it was a little jarring, but I still appreciate the small little performance that he gave.
Not the first time you've said
Hey, I'm all about the small performances in life, okay? I'm here for the
that.
little guys. So let's talk about some of the character development in this movie. Let's start off with the dad, because I think while his character doesn't really change at all throughout this movie, a lot of the characters change based off of him. And I'm sure that it's been done in movies before, but I don't know of a movie off the top of my head that you have one character that literally never changes, but you have every other character around them change because of this one really well acted and developed character, which is the dad. And the dad's name was Fritz Von Erich. He was a wrestler. What did you think? I thought it was fucking funny. The dude straight up has a ranking system for his kids.
At first I thought he was kind of like joking, because we always joke, like, you always joke when, like, Caitlin will ask me who's her favorite, and I'm like, fuck you, of course. And at first that's what I thought it was, but then I was like, nah, this dude definitely, he's serious. There's a fucking ranking.
He's like, he can change at any time. I'm like, these are serious.
His ranking system is kind of like the fucking NCAA football. You lose one fucking game, you're at the fucking bottom.
Fucking savage, man. Dude, like, fucks up one time. Yeah, you're like the first fucking worst kid ever. Fuck you.
And he had no problem putting somebody on the DL list.
No.
No, I mean, he didn't even get his first one buried, and he was like, competition's getting tougher here.
He's like, well, fuck, he's moving to the back of the bus and turning. Lowest rank right there, man. You killed yourself too fucking pathetic. I don't know. Like that just seems like the type of character that he would be. He didn't necessarily say that in the movie, but he gives that across that he just literally does not care about his kids.
No. Well, I had a very inappropriate joke I was going to add in there, but today's
Well, I had
climate,
to.
I think I'm a pass.
I had to continue with what I was saying before people start. Oh, this motherfucker just didn't. I was fucking telling that one, man. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, we get canceled if I say this joke, so I'll just hold it to myself. Oh, Matt Rifton, bitches. I'm not Netflix. You can't cancel me, bitch.
Oh no, I'd hate for you not to pay me what you're not paying me already. That's fucked up. That's fucked up. I shouldn't joke like that. We appreciate y'all, okay? So, father never says anything positive, specifically to Mike. Mike, again, is the one that was the musician, eventually OD'd. He is always, always just tearing that dude down. The dude just wanted to be a musician, man. That's all he wanted to fucking do. And it's so bad that the dude wanted his father's approval so bad that he gave up what he wanted to do to be a wrestler.
I think that's what drove him to suicide. I mean, I don't know,
Yes.
but that's what it steered me in the direction of, because he was never going to get that approval from his father, so he was like, this is all.
I mean, I don't think off the top of my head he actually ever says anything nice to Mike in the entire movie that I can
No,
remember.
he made fun of him for fucking playing those instruments that he played in the very beginning. He was like,
Yep. That's not gonna make any money,
yeah.
says the guy that's wrestling.
Says the guy that never brought the world championship title to the
And I'm really surprised they never actually bring that up in the movie. Like,
What,
as
that
a
he was such
dude.
a
Like, hey man, why do you suck dick at fucking winning championships? Or like, never brings it up.
Guys did suck dick championships.
But all in all, I thought the dad was developed. Like I said, he's it's not like he has an arc per se. He doesn't change throughout the course of the movie, but the acting, the development of him from one scene to the next, and then how everybody else kind of builds off of him, I thought was really, really fucking awesome, to be honest with you.
I feel like the best arcing was the mother. The mother or Kevin. I like
Kevin,
how his character.
most definitely.
But like we discussed, the mother went from stone cold being the exact way that daddy was to toward the end, she was like, this is such, I'm done. I can't do anymore. It was just a good arc.
I can't believe she stayed with him at the very end.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, you
Yeah.
think about it. Two of those sons killed themselves based off of shit that the dad was doing.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make a point And it would be hard to disagree with you or talk you off the ledge that the dad wasn't at fault for both of those boys killing themselves.
Yeah,
Because
I agree.
Kevin tells him, and which was a fucking great scene, by the way, a great emotional scene where he drives to the house, hears the gun pop off, and it's like a long take scene of sorts. And he just starts bolting to his brother, and then his dad comes out of nowhere, and he just gets over there. I thought he was gonna kill his dad. Did you think that?
I did too. I did too. And mainly because I didn't know about any of these motherfuckers before I watched this, and I was like,
Yes.
"Bro, this is the way I'm liking this." But it
Sold
was a
on the
fucking good
acting
scene.
there.
It was a good fucking scene because you could feel the hate that he had for his dad at that point for not protecting his brother.
And he's like, I asked you to watch him. Just fucking watch him. And you could have saved his life. But, the dad only ever cares about himself and the accomplishments of himself and how he can seem better in the people's eyes based off how his sons are.
And Kevin's big arc was when he finally, because he was pushing away his family because he thought of, the Von Erich curse. And that's why he named his kids separate last names. And you could get his arc from when he finally was like, you know what? I'm pushing them away, but that's what I need. It was, I don't know.
Maybe you need to reset everything and get the fuck away from wrestling and the dad. Okay. By all means, get away from the
No
fucking dad.
shit.
But yeah, I loved the acting and just the character for him because it seems like he's like a stunted, like socially awkward for a majority of the movie. And then when it comes time towards the end of the movie, he's I don't want to say he's intelligent by any means, but in terms of being a different character, I think they were able to run that home for me personally. I thought he was like super confident towards the end, and he just wasn't taking a lot. Again, a lot of the movie is based off the dad, the character development is, and they all want to impress the dad, and Kevin is just so fucking done with his dad that he's fucking choking the life out of him. And he's done with wrestling and all that and goes and starts being with his family, his kids, which was a great arc, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And I guess the last thing we can talk about in terms of the character development, we can just do the overarching with the brothers. I thought they did a great job of showing like how close they were and how they will defend each other to that bitter end. They have each other's backs and they support each other, but it's the father that creates that division between them. Kevin has been working so hard to get that title shot, and then David just swoops the fuck on in and gets the title shot and then wins the championship belt before he ends up getting into that motorcycle wreck. So I loved how they showed the brothers in this movie. I thought they did a great job of that.
They did, and the best part was, when one of them would get the acknowledgement from their father, you could see it fucking made the other one mad, but at the same time, they were happy that their brother accomplished his attention.
Ain't that fucking something?
That's fucked up, man.
Like, god damn it, man. I'm so fucking pissed off that you got his approval. But god damn, man, I'm proud of you. Good for you,
Yep,
man.
yep, yep, yep.
And again, man, you just, I don't want to say relatable because I don't relate to that whatsoever because I had a bunch of dick for brothers, but that's neither here nor there. But in terms of like you could like sympathize with the brothers and it makes them likable in a sense.
Yeah, I always felt like I had that brother with a brain injury, but
That's Larry for the record. Definitely Larry for the record. How funny was the scene where the dude is fucking, like, I'm telling you, like, fucking first 5 minutes of the damn movie, dude's in there jerking off in the shower, knocking on the door, and he's like, bro, just give me a fucking minute. If that ain't the realest shit in this movie, I don't know what is, okay? Like, he's losing his concentration, and now he's thinking about you. But really, it was just those handful of scenes that we've kind of already talked about that I was that I really enjoyed the most, which was the ending, and then that particular scene, which is funny to me. Any other scenes stood out to you, sir?
Yeah, it was when Eric and the brother that went to Japan, I can't think of his name.
Which one?
The one that died first from the intestinal rupture.
That'd be David.
The scene with him at the wedding with his oldest brother in the bathroom stall, I think that was fucking powerful. I think Kevin knew something was fucked up with him. Because, you know, when they panned on the scene, you can kind of see what's in the toilet, but you really can't make it out. And you're like, well, this is not fucking good. Mm-hmm. And then they had the moment of when he was telling him he was going to be a daddy for the first time and shit like that. It was just a good scene, but I mean, just armchair quarterbacking. If that was me and that, I would ask him to flush the fucking toilet before we had our moment.
He fucking would. Larry would have pushed my fucking head in the toilet.
Yeah. Apple agreed with you because they gave you a thumbs up.
He gave me a thumbs up, man.
I don't know, man. That was just, it was just a good scene. It just, there wasn't a whole lot to it, but, and it only lasted, what, 30 seconds, maybe?
Story of my life.
But it was just a good scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it sucks because I watched this movie like fucking 2 weeks ago, but I digress. I keep going to, and I probably said it a billion times, I keep going back to the thing that I'm really going to remember from this movie the most is the early on scene with them playing football at the very end. That to me, if you want to take anything away from this movie, is the fact that they set it up from the very beginning, and then it pays off at the very end, and it completes a character arc right there, because that just shows you that he's not like his dad, and he's going to move forward, and the curse is broken with him. Just, to me, those were the two best sequences. I'll take that back. Okay. Those themselves, they're not the individually great scenes, but when you put them together, plus the rest of the movie, is absolutely fantastic. To me, the best part, the best scene in the entire movie is when his brother Kerry kills himself, and then he proceeds to choke the fuck out of his dad.
I agree, and you know, there's another small scene in there, and that's when Eric and the curly-haired brother just picks up the youngest brother from playing the music instruments in the band,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, "Let's go get a burger," and they're like, that, and then they went and got a burger, and it's just that clip of, I don't know, just brothers being brothers and hanging out and having a good time, and it just like kind of tied in their love for each other.
It seems like you want to say it's relatable. I feel like
I
that's
don't
what
think
you were
so.
Guessing.
Nah.
I'm pretty sure. Look, you held him back a little bit.
For one, Larry would be too cheap to buy us hamburgers.
That dude be like, "Hey, you want to go get a hamburger? Why, you got money to pay me back for the last time? Hey, didn't I loan you this 5 years ago?"
This dude would buy a triple and hand us the patty off of it. We'd all just...
Not eaten.
And then, the scene with the mother that we discussed earlier was a really good scene. And the final scene with the father and Kevin, when he tells him he's thinking about selling that wrestling promo business of theirs, and they're in the living room, and it just ties in. The dad just is not gonna fucking change. He doesn't see anything wrong with
Nope.
it.
Nope. Like I said, man, the movie doesn't have in like the ones that we've mentioned are obviously the best scenes in the entire movie. But you can't sit here and say, every single scene is fucking incredible, yada yada yada, and it moves forward. It's the collection of scenes, it's the development of those characters. The payoff at the fucking end. And that to me is the highlight of the entire movie. It's not necessarily phenomenal scenes back to back to back. I don't even want to use the word slow burn because it's not really a slow burn of a movie. I thought the pacing was actually pretty good, to be honest with you. Especially the beginning. I think maybe if you want to complain about the pacing a little bit, maybe towards like the middle-ish area. I think the pacing kind of drops off a little bit, but a lot of that is just character development. But it's the collection of those scenes and the development that highlights the movie for me. I can't say enough good things about that.
Yeah, it ended up being a good movie, man. I actually enjoyed watching this. I watched it, and then I went and immediately watched the documentary on Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Dude. Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock used to be my fucking favorite. I'll send Dad clips every once in a while, TikTok videos of fucking just Stone Cold stunnering everybody, like especially like Vince McMahon and
Dale, you.
The Rock. Like when I think of childhood memories with like with Dad, I think about wrestling a lot more than a lot of things because we used to fuck with each other all the time.
Oh yeah, and man, there's a documentary on YouTube is the one I watched, and it's phenomenal to know how that guy got his start and how close he was to not getting that, and how close we were.
To never seen it.
Yeah, because it was like the most iconic fucking years of
Of
pro
wrestling.
wrestling, I think, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
And
Now,
just
I don't know if you know
one
this, but The
little.
Rock is back.
Oh, is he back wrestling now?
Yeah, he's doing WrestleMania. I think they turned him into like the villain or some shit. I don't know. I watch clips every once in a while.
Well, he credits Stone Cold for his success.
Did
Yeah, he sure did. It's a good
he?
documentary, man. If you get bored, it's about 1 hour and 10 minutes, and it's fucking good.
I'll probably check that out. I'll probably check that out.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, he's one of my favorite wrestlers. And then, listen, we hadn't even talked about it. Remember back in the fucking day, man? I was actually talking with this to somebody else. It was the Triple H, his theme song started playing. And then we all started doing this. For those, this is definitely a visual thing. When they went, ugh!
That was, oh, y'all motherfuckers
Where the second sign, the symbol, dude, that was
Yeah.
so fucking good. So good, man. Like,
Yeah,
you
it
can't beat
touches that.
90s, man.
It touches that in the documentary too.
Oh,
Yeah.
we go watch this.
And they credit him to paving the way. Oh, fuck it. You just watch the motherfucker. I don't want to sit here and
Yeah,
tell
I'll
you
watch the
about it.
movie. Yeah, fucking, I mean, I wanted to fucking know what was going on. Cliff Notes version over here.
Fuck.
Hey, the fuck I watch it anymore. You fucking telling me everything that happens.
Just to fucking play by play.
Overall, man, I give it 4.5 stars. I was pretty fucking close to giving it 5. I was pretty close. I'm gonna stick with 4.5 for now.
Yeah, I'll give it 4.5.
Great fucking movie. I think it ends up being, like I said, I don't know if this will be on a 2023 list or if I'm gonna move it to 2024. It ended up being like number four on my list for 2023 if I keep it there. So that great fucking movie, guys, and I can't say enough good things about it, and highly, highly recommend going and checking this movie out.
I 100% agree.
Well, guys, that is going to be it from us next week. So, Josh, we'll fucking stop trying to shove this fucking movie down my damn throat, okay? We're going to be reviewing Elysium. I can almost bet Josh is not going to like this movie. I have a better chance of liking this movie than he does, and he wants to fucking watch it.
It's fucked up.
Something tells me you're not going to fucking like it.
Hey, oh, yeah.
I've been wrong before. So yeah, y'all go and check out Elysium. Do you know what app that was on?
No.
Is it even still on the app?
Should probably check that out before we announce that we're gonna watch that.
No, I should really already. But if y'all want to go ahead and watch the next couple of movies that we're going to be reviewing, Elysium, hopefully, and then Roadhouse, the remake. I love the Patrick Swayze OG version. I really do not want to watch the Jake Gyllenhaal. That's why Josh's name on here is fucking, it says Jake, because he's been a dick. It comes out on the 21st, so this movie should already be out by the time you listen to this review. I don't want to watch it because it looks terrible, but it's a new release, so hey, we watch these movies so you don't have to, right? And then after that, we're going to watch the movie The Anatomy of a Fall. It has to do with a Venezuelan rugby team. It's a rugby team in South America. Their plane crashes in the snowy mountains, and it's all about survival and shit like that. Really fucking, I hope it's really fucking good. I think it won an award and got nominated for some other shit for the Oscars. But those are going to be the next few movies that we have on deck for review. But other than that, guys, we appreciate y'all supporting us. We will catch y'all next week on another episode. Laters.
Later.